Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Yeah, I guess we'll start. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
How's
it going? How's it going?
Do you have spaghetti and fried bumblebees?
That's
a state reference, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. I'm referencing the state.
Oh, man. Welcome to the episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast, you guys.
Hypecast.
We're in Hypecast.
Let's all sing the Garfield and Friends theme song together because of Hypecast.
Let's sing a legally distinct version of the Garfield and Friends theme song.
Because they'll flag us.
Yeah, they've been watching. Jim Davis seems like a litigious motherfucker.
Yeah.
This is a show where we get hyped about stuff and things.
It's true.
I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
And I am Treasurer Jeff May.
Nice.
Yeah. Treasurer of the pod.
Sticking with it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for being
here, buddy.
I'm glad to be here.
This is what we're all doing instead of watching the Avengers right now.
Yeah.
What? I'm not doing this fucking midnight bullshit.
I feel like a real wiener because I'm watching it tomorrow at 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just got like the soonest ticket I could. So maybe I shouldn't feel like a wiener, but like, yeah, I'm looking at the showings today and there's some as early as like 6 o'clock in the evening. And it's like, why the fuck aren't I watching the Avengers tonight?
Do you need it?
No, I guess not.
I kind of do.
I mean, yeah.
I'm doing Friday at noon. Okay. That is legitimately the perfect time for me to go see
a
movie.
That's a pretty solid time. I would have done that early, but I got work.
Rub it in. Right. Fuck face.
I've seen it at 4. You know, I have a job like an adult.
Yeah.
Cool.
Should we get watching these trailers that aren't the Avengers?
Let's get hyped, bros.
Yeah, let's get hyped.
Get that
bros.
Hype. Put that hype right into my veins.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna imagine if I talked like this the whole time.
What do you mean imagine?
I kinda dare
like
you.
Like a goddamn Tyco fucking remote controlled car commercial from the 80s.
Lego 2.
Yeah. The animal.
What did that guy look like, you think? The guy who did the voice.
I bet he was 110 pounds.
Yeah.
He probably looked like a cigarette, like the personification.
Yeah.
But like a ratty found on the street cigarette or like a fresh out the pack skinny cigarette?
I think either one.
Pick a fucking side, Tom.
Come on.
I'm saying he probably looks like Michael Buffer.
Okay.
This perfectly tanned, that's a good... drives around in a sports car.
Imagine a guy in a full-on tuxedo going into a fucking voice acting booth to do fucking voiceover for like, you know, a Tyco RC. The latest in RC. He's got like a red bow tie on.
Yeah. Imagine a guy... going into a voice acting booth in a tuxedo no matter what.
Yeah, it's so funny to me.
Yeah.
I bet Michael Buffer's done that.
There's got to be some roles where a voice actor was like, I need to be in a tuxedo to get this character.
If somebody's like a character.
Yeah.
Like a method voice actor.
Yeah.
I bet the guy
Adam West doing a Batman and Robin animated movie.
In a Batman suit.
Copyright Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get to the first trailer. I'm going to say what the first trailer is.
Do it.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready for it.
It's Men in Black International.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, it's the second trailer for Men in Black Interactual. This like gives us a little more of the plot, I guess. What do you guys think? What are you guys thinking about this?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Sure.
Have you discussed why do previews need a preview before the preview of what's in the preview?
Oh, I know why. I can tell you why.
Why?
That's YouTube's fault. That's the fact that YouTube and I guess Facebook, especially Facebook people, scroll. And they want to get they want to show you the trailer as quickly as possible. Like, for example, the skip button. Like, if they play the trailer before the thing you actually want to watch, they can get in a little trailer before you hit the skip button.
I hate what we've become now.
Oh, yeah, no, it's sure. Terrible.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay,
awful.
I know that because I noticed that with all the trailers, they have that. And I'm like, fuck this thing.
Yeah.
It increases watchability, Jeff.
Yeah. This particular trailer looks fine. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not sure how much people care about Men in Black.
I don't know.
I don't think that's the issue here.
Yeah,
they have
some great fucking actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson are answering to Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And Emma Thompson. Like,
yeah.
Like, Men in Black never really people weren't buying Men in Black shirts.
Yeah, you know what? This is very smart of them because the only reason the first Men in Black are good is because of who's in it.
Right, exactly.
Because we get to watch Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones together, which sounds insane.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't quite believe that happened.
Particularly in 1997.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he would have been a little hungover after Batman Forever.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm surprised he did this after Batman Forever.
Well, he can sanction Will Smith's buffoonery.
That's true.
Will Smith has a classy tuxedo in a voiceover studio level of buffoonery.
That's true.
Yeah, and so I feel like when they brought out this one, they were
governor's ball buffoonery.
But it feels like with this one, they knew they were like, "Look, no one's ever given a shit about Men in Black."
Do you remember what happened in Men in Black 3?
I do, but that's probably just because I have a problem. Because I remember Josh Brolin in it, and there's time travel, and
Jermaine Clement in it.
Yeah,
Jermaine Clement's the bad guy.
It's baffling. It's a crazy fucking plot.
They all are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a plot that doesn't, it actually goes back and makes the other films not make sense, because it's all about them going back in time to put a shield in space.
Of course.
That the bad guy takes away for an invasion. But if they've had that shield, I don't know why the other invasions in the other movies mattered. Doesn't matter.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. I enjoy all three of those fucking movies because what's the use of not enjoying them?
The second one is aggressively bad.
I love the gag through it. Really? I love the gag with the fake driver.
I slept through it at the drive-in. I saw it at the drive-in, and I fell asleep.
There's no reason not to enjoy these movies.
I mean, the ones I've seen, they were fun.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just fucking Chris Hemsworth in an action comedy.
Yeah.
I could literally have that be his life for the rest of my life, and I'd be okay with it.
I think this movie's going to do pretty good, but not, like, amazing, because it's kind of the cast alone is...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think there's... Yeah, there's no hardcore fan base for Men in Black.
But, I mean, the other aspect of that, I know... You're right in the fact that Men in Black, it was movies and a cartoon, and that's pretty much it. Like, there's not like merch that people love. There's no Men in Black cons. There's no no one. But at the same time, big fun movies are big and fun.
Yeah.
And this could do fine.
Yeah.
When bad movies like Avatar make a ton of money,
exactly.
Who knows what people are going to latch on to.
No, I think this will do good. I just don't think it'll... Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty average. But that's just my... I'm just throwing that out. I like... I think on Twitter someone pointed out that in Independence Day Resurgence, Will Smith is seen as an oil painting. And then in this one, he's in the trailer as in an oil painting as well. So he only returns to like old franchises in the form of oil paintings.
I wonder if there's going to be a Dorian Gray situation.
He's like a haunting.
They
have an oil painting of Tommy Lee Jones.
No, it's both of them
on velvet.
Yeah, it's them from the beginning fighting Vincent D'Onofrio, or from the first movie, I mean.
That's actually a painting of Vincent D'Onofrio that they put those people in it.
Yeah.
How much time has passed in the Men in Black universe?
Who cares?
25 years.
Having an oil painting of a guy of a team of guys that were in a sequel to this movie like less than 10 years ago.
Well, Tom, I imagine it's like the famous adventure series, The Librarian, where they have an oil painting of every past librarian, like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. They saved the world.
That's like an employee of the month plaque.
Yeah, I think
in the
so.
Men in Black world.
I think that's it. I think it's maybe they've died in this world. I don't think they're gonna kill him off.
I would.
They sure as hell killed Will Smith in Independence Day Resurgence.
I was gonna say it was a bold choice in Resurgence because they really
wanted. Wait, isn't a Hemsworth in that too?
Yes,
probably.
Isn't Liam? I'm telling you what, man. You throw a Hemsworth where there was a Will Smith.
You got to throw.
Things don't look good.
You have to throw the correct Hemsworth in.
Right.
Yeah. Throw like Luke Hemsworth in.
There's from Westworld.
Oh man, they're like so. They are Baldwins. They're Australian Baldwins.
Yeah,
good for them. Yeah, I don't know, man. This is fine.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see it.
It looks fine. I mean, yeah, it'll. They were pretty funny together in Thor Ragnarok. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah, they're a great team. Yeah, fuck yeah. This is gonna be great, you guys. This Thor Ragnarok reminded me.
Oh yeah, Tessa Thompson is a great. They're both great comedic actors.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yeah, and Kumail Nanjiani in there.
Kumail.
Going with the tradition of Men in Black of having like fun actors play aliens. Like that's a good. I hope David Cross comes back.
Yeah.
He was in the first three, I believe all three. I assume all three. I don't remember him in the third.
They have a comedian. Thanks. A diverse comedian.
That's fair.
Nice try.
That's fair.
Leave your straight white men out of my Men in Black.
It is.
Not my Men in Black.
Yeah. Mm. It's not straight white men in black, okay? Although they do actually make the men and women in black, and it's like, all right.
Oh, yeah,
they
do.
Yeah, they make that very obvious joke.
Yeah.
Persons in black. I
mean, your boss is still Liam Neeson.
Yes.
So it hasn't progressed that much. Oh, yeah, I guess Emma Thompson. Was she in Men in Black 3? I think she was in the third one.
I don't know.
Because they killed off Rip Torn because he's a maniac.
He sure is.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute psychopath.
I love that they
even
thought.
He tried to rob a bank.
Yeah. I love that they even thought having Rip Torn was a good idea in the first place.
Maybe because it was a good idea
in
the first place.
Yeah, it's kind of a good idea.
He's great in that movie.
Yeah.
When he's yelling at the coffee aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah, great.
Let's be clear. Having Rip Torn in anything is always a good idea because he's a maniac.
Oh, he's great in Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Oh man!
They shot a movie with him.
They shot a movie with him in my hometown that I was technically an extra in the movie he was in, and what I learned is that the main male lead that he was working with was like a young kid. It was his first role, and apparently in between takes, Rip Torn just threatened him all the time, like physically. And he ate at a restaurant I was dishwashing at the time, and he ate like 50 oysters and then left.
Fuck yeah,
yeah.
Did he pay for the oysters?
Give me all the oysters you have.
Yeah, he basically, it was that. It was like, Rip Torn needs these oysters.
All right.
Prep the oysters.
More like Shuck Torn.
Mm. Mm. Nice.
You know what? That deserves better.
No, it doesn't.
No, this does.
I think you got the exact reaction you deserved.
You pricks.
Sorry. All right, speaking of Will Smith.
Yeah.
The next trailer is Gemini Man, directed by Ang Lee.
I know.
It's hard for me to give a shit about this.
This, I think, is definitely a bomb. Like,
worse Oblivion.
Yes. We've talked about this on Hubcast before. Will Smith is allergic to good movies.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
First of all, this is like the worst title ever. Gemini Man.
Yeah.
Like,
worst logo of the title, too.
I know. Calling it Worse Oblivion would be a better title.
Yeah.
I like that. I feel like Ang Lee has that sort of Luc Besson pedigree where, like, He'll make one good movie and get four or five turds out of it before he makes another one.
His good movies. Just Hulk, right? That's his great movie.
I'm going to drill you in the nose. Life of Pi and the fucking cowboy one.
I would argue that even Life of Pi isn't that great.
Crouching Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Crouching Tiger, yeah.
Crouching Tiger
and Brokeback Mountain is really good. Yeah. Life of Pi, I think, is one of those movies. It's like The Shape of Water, where it was only going to exist for like a year, and then everybody was going to forget about it.
Life of Pi is one of those movies that destroyed the company that made it.
Sure did.
And that...
Well, the special effects company.
Yeah. Which, that movie is an entire special effect.
Which, and the weirdest part about that, because the whole... All right.
They still not almost drowned a tiger, right?
That's what I was getting to. Not only did they destroy a special effects company for making a CGI tiger, but somehow also almost killed a tiger making it. And it's like, well, which is it? Are you going to try to
order a tiger?
Yeah.
That was their rat party.
Yeah. They almost drowned a fucking tiger.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah.
No, no movie is worth that.
No.
drowning tiger, hidden dragon.
Nice.
There you go.
There it is.
That's better than Chuck Torn.
Fuck you. Chuck Torn was great.
Chuck Torn is pretty good.
Yeah.
He probably calls himself that and laughs his ass off every time he eats oysters. Oysters
every day he eats 50 oysters. Yeah.
Stuffs his cheeks full of oysters like a squirrel.
Makes me virile. That's the secret to my long life. As an aphrodisiac, I got a hard on 24/7.
I just want to talk about Rip Torn for the rest of this episode.
They call me Shuck Torn so I can be Fuck Torn.
Fuck Torn. It didn't even rhyme, but it's just brilliant.
It's a horrible image.
Yeah.
You're
on several different levels. Yeah.
That's not a promise I want anyone to keep.
Now, here's the thing. I know we're just tossing a couple ideas out into the ether and see what happens, but what about Shuck Torn t-shirts?
Sure.
Yeah. Just
T-shirt of Rip Torn sucking back 50 oysters with Dave washing dishes in the background.
We should write that down. I want that t-shirt to exist.
I mean, we're writing it down with our voices.
That's
in
true.
Podcast
yeah
form.
This is a voice memo.
Yeah. Okay, just Gemini Man, who gives
bad.
A shit, it
looks bad. I'd rather see a movie of Rip Torn eating oysters and fucking than yeah. Gemini Man.
I'm kind of excited for this movie in the sense that it reminds me of like the Ben Affleck movie Paycheck. Like any of those like sci-fi thrillers where it's
like...
That is
a weird thing to say. I'm excited about this movie because it reminds me of the Ben Affleck movie Paycheck.
It reminds me of that or like just any shitty sci-fi movie that no one's going to see in theaters, like Replicas with Keanu Reeves,
ooh,
where it's going to be a great movie to watch later and be like, I can't believe someone made this movie.
Is this going to be Netflix? Is this going to be straight to Netflix?
No, this
it
is a
should be.
Release.
Really? Yeah.
It's Will Smith.
Oh, well.
I don't think Will Smith fucks with Netflix,
Bright?
Does he?
Bright.
Oh, no, he does. Bright, yeah. Yeah.
But,
this should have been straight to Netflix.
I believe he was in Bright Torn.
Bright Torn. Shuck Torn. Shit, I had a thought, but now it's gone. Oh, well. Oh, yeah. I said Replicas is a great film if you want to watch Thomas Middleditch get shot to death.
Yeah, and who doesn't? Yeah. Well, okay. Next movie. 21 Bridges.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where they spend a lot of time explaining that the Russo brothers produced it.
Yes. And they, like, point out, like, that they directed the Avengers, and it's like, yeah, but this isn't that.
This is, they're not directing this.
Yeah.
What also struck me as weird, because it's, like, from the visionary directors of Avengers Endgame, I'm like, the movie's not out yet.
Doesn't
yeah,
matter.
But they, I
who
mean,
the
they,
fuck cares? It's the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, they yeah. know what they're doing.
Yeah.
This looks fine. This is like a cop thriller.
Yeah, it looks great. They call him the cop killer at one point in time. Yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, his father was murdered, who was a cop. And so now he's like essentially a police assassin.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah man. Chadwick Boseman being able to just talk like himself. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is nice.
Neat little role for Taylor Kitsch, too.
Yeah, right?
Who is Taylor Kitsch?
He was Gambit.
Friday Night Lights, John Carter. Battleship.
This is Gambit. Explaining what, my confusion. He was Gambit?
He was Gambit.
He's the only actor to play Gambit?
Yes.
Yeah. Somehow? Until Channing Tatum somehow does
Taylor
something with
Kitsch
it.
Taylor Kitsch has a name more famous than his face. Like, I know
that's
the
exactly
name.
What I'd want to be if I was famous.
Yeah. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Good, man. That's what I'd want.
Yeah.
That's 100% what I'd want, is people saying, get me Taylor Kitsch. And then I show up and they're like, this is the guy?
Oh, him?
Because then I can go anywhere I want and not be bothered, other than the fact that Taylor Kitsch is beautiful.
Right. He's like a superhero.
Gambit. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was in True Detective Season 2.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was the fuckboy bike cop.
He was good. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah,
still can't picture his face.
He played David Koresh in that miniseries of Waco that just came out. He's pretty good in it.
This is like this is like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where he like can't see Elijah Wood's face in the dream. Like, that's what was going on in my head. Like, I'm trying to spin him around and I just keep seeing the back of his head.
Gambit.
You've had Taylor Kitsch erased from your memory.
Yeah. I know Gambit.
Did Taylor Kitsch break up with you?
I remember he got like a staff. And he had like probably a trench coat, and he threw cards.
No trench. Did he have a trench coat?
I'm assuming.
And I'll tell you what, man. That movie.
When I look up to the face, it's just blurriness.
In a sea of bad movies, that movie is the worst movie.
Yes. Well, the most insane thing about that movie is the fact that Wolverine has CGI blades, and they're managed to be bad. Like, we've been doing metal. Metal is not hard to make in CGI.
Yeah.
And somehow they managed to completely fuck it up.
It's so funny when it leaked and everyone's like, it's not finished. Yes. You didn't let it be finished. And then they release it and finished and they're like, sorry.
Sorry, everyone.
Still looks real bad.
Oh, man.
Wait, what?
When we finish it, the whole Deadpool plot will be different.
Yeah.
It's not what's going to happen.
That's not the problem, you guys. Who's randomly, is that Maverick that's randomly in it, or Longshot?
Maverick's in it. That's right. There's the whole group, the whole Weapon X group that Blob is somehow in.
Right.
And then
he would not have been invited to that program.
The guy from Black Eyed Peas.
Will.i.am. Yeah.
Will.i.am is the character. It's, man. God, that.
It's a bad movie.
In a sea of bad X-Men movies, it's.
It's got to be the worst,
X-Men,
right?
X-Men movies are the Star Trek movies of superhero films.
Yes. They really are. I'm not sure if it's the worst.
X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yeah.
It is by far the worst.
You think it's worse than Last Stand?
Yep, I do.
Yes, I do, because I get entertainment out of The Last Stand.
The Last Stand has the Porcupine Man in it.
I am obsessed with that.
That's
man.
That's the dumbest thing of all time.
Let me tell you something about that guy. He has one power and he uses it,
and
he makes lemonade, man.
What I like about him is that he still believes in the cause, even though it's really all the same to him. Like the idea, like, he's basically a human, he's just like a little spikier.
Yeah,
like,
he can hug a lady to death.
Yeah, he could easily be on the human side, just like, yeah, we gotta do something about those mutants. But no, he's a mutant. For better or for worse, he's a mutant. He's going to side with them.
Yeah.
Even though he can't help in any way.
Shitty power.
When Storm just tornado punches him to death.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's so funny.
The funniest thing is he's standing there like next to like Magneto and Pyro. It's like, yeah, our powers are all equivalent.
But I'm telling you, you make, I'm obsessed with that character because like you are given such a shitty mutation and you still are like, I deserve to be at the table.
Right.
And I am doing the best with what I have.
I earned my place.
Yeah, man. It's like, you're in the wheelchair, play murder ball, you know? Like,
right.
He's going hard. I'm obsessed with my spiky boy. I love him so much. I tweet about him a lot.
You need to. Nobody should ever. If we don't remember the mistakes of the past, we're doomed to.
Oh, man. I tweeted about Psylocke's titty window in X-Men Apocalypse the other day.
That.
I was like, and then a woman had a breakdown with me because she said that Wonder Woman was also gratuitous, sexual, whatever. And I was like, well, you know, Gloria Steinem actually cites her as a female empowerment character. And she was like, no. And then like several comic book creators, men and women, were like, no, it's maybe you're. And this woman like basically had a meltdown. Insane.
Well, because this is a totally different subject, but no one likes being wrong. No one can just be like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
I love being wrong.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm wrong all the time. It's great.
You know what's great about being wrong?
To be wrong.
You know what's great about wrong is people stop expecting you to be right.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can just say whatever the fuck you want. Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
It's great.
I want to be the dumbest guy in every room I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Shuck Tor.
Okay, well, sometimes I'm brilliant. This movie looks great. It looks good. 21 Bridges.
Yeah, let's talk about Godzilla.
Sure.
I mean, I've talked about this movie with you guys before.
I know. They need to stop putting out trailers.
This is, like, I think, the final one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie is the part three that they made a part two.
Yes.
This shouldn't be the movie.
It sucked so much, the first Godzilla, that I think they were like, look, we probably only have one more shot at
this. I
didn't
think it sucked that bad.
It's so forgettable.
I liked the Muto stuff and like the... I actually enjoyed it.
It had a couple moments. I just thought it was such a bummer, and it was like, I don't know, this feels like it's making up for, like, you know, not showing Godzilla.
Slow down.
And being... I get the slow down idea. I think...
They went from 0 to 60 pretty fucking fast.
I think they're trying to... They have some sort of cinematic universe because they want to do the next is Godzilla versus King Kong.
Why would you give a shit about Godzilla versus King Kong when you've already got Ghidorah and Gamera?
I think they're doing...
Rodan and fucking Mothra.
Is Gamera in this?
Yeah.
I think they're doing the DC thing where they're trying to make a cinematic universe and they're immediately fucking it up.
I think this looks great.
Because I think they made... The first one, not thinking it would be part of a cinematic universe. And then the King Kong movie that, like, no one thinks about anymore, which wasn't a bad movie. It's just passed us by.
Right.
Like, that one was sort of the one that was like, oh, and it's going to be related to Godzilla and this Godzilla. And then they're doing this. And it does look awesome.
Yeah,
this trailer confused me. Yeah.
I hope they're holding off that King Kong is in this.
Yeah.
I hope they're not showing us that he's in it and they surprise us with it.
I just think the biggest problem that I'm detecting from this is that I don't think they know what they're doing, in the sense of, like, I'm guessing this has probably not a single human character we're going to care about.
Yeah, the guy from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Fucking Kyle Chandler.
No, I mean, I'm sure it has humans in it and
11.
Main characters.
11,
yeah, and 11. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, they're not going to have much of a plot. I think they don't, like, it just doesn't, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, but I think it'll just be another forgettable giant monster movie, because none of these really have.
I don't know if this one can be forgettable with the scope that they've put it up there.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to crush Boston. I noticed that.
Stoked on that.
Yeah.
We talked about that last
time. Yeah, we talked about that. Somebody tried to break a beer bottle on Godzilla's foot.
Yeah.
Fuck out of my town.
Calling Ghidorah gay.
Yeah. The thing I noticed about this trailer, though, is like the one king to rule them all.
Yeah.
And then the Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, the
piano. And it was like, what the fuck is happening? What are they going for
here? I don't
know.
What's the plan, Godzilla?
I think they're just going for... This movie's wicked awesome.
I actually think these movies are well written. I think they are.
I don't think they're badly.
I think they're well. I think they might not be. I think here's the thing about any Godzilla movie is that it has to be about the people.
Yes.
Because whenever you make the movie just about Godzilla, you're just like sitting there being like, oh, this is would actually be very boring.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they went a little too heavy, and I can't. I'm not invested in Aaron, what's his name, as a character.
Oh, I don't think he's in this.
Like, in the first one, I was like, okay,
was
but I
so
don't
boring.
Like him.
He was so boring.
Like his, yeah. But the overall arcs of stuff I thought were really good.
But that was the insane thing about that movie is they're like, we're going to focus on the people and not show Godzilla, but we're also not going to make the people any interesting. Like, they're going to be
Elizabeth
very
Olsen
boring.
Was interesting.
Yeah, she wasn't in it that much, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, same
and
with, like,
Bryan Cranston was taking
Ken Watanabe.
Ken Watanabe's pretty great.
I'm sure this will be a lot of fun, but so far, the best American Godzilla is still, in my eyes, the 1998 one.
Oh, fuck you.
Because, it's not good, but at least it was like...
Got a dope soundtrack.
It was, yeah, that's true.
Come with me,
no,
Puff
at
Daddy?
Least it had, like, crazy so characters, and like you said, it focused on the people a lot.
The people were crazy.
Yeah.
Jean Reno...
Just with his coffee bit.
French spy.
Yeah, that was fucking bonkers. Pretty it's sweet. More entertaining to watch. Hank Azaria.
Yep.
I think, animal. I guess making your action thing a kind of a comedy. But man, what a amber fell on that fucking movie in 1998.
Yeah.
When you look at who's in it.
Yeah.
You're just like, Jesus Christ,
man.
Oh, yeah. This is the Chasing Amy of giant monster movies.
Sure is.
Yeah, and I guess this one, they have a couple moments of humor in this.
I'm sure.
But
I'm sure.
I guess it seems to already be... Like, the trailer... I think there's going to be a tonal issue with that, because I think they were told, like, you got to put more jokes and humor in it. But the movie is presented in this very dark, gritty way.
It's kind of
with, like, people are dying. So it's sort of one of those, like, well, which is it? Situations. Like,
yeah,
are you
going to
make
just...
it funny, or are you going to just murder everybody and make it gritty? You can't really, it's really hard to do both.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to go full Ragnarok if you really want it to.
Yeah. Like, I think these movies should be more fun than they are so far.
They need to be something. Like, King Kong had that weird tonal issue, too, where it's like, it's kind of a serious movie, but then you just have John C. Reilly just fucking riffing.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you got to know there's King Kong out there. And you know he's got a pretty good thing going.
That's a solid John C. Reilly.
That's a pretty good John C. Reilly. I'm thinking of the line where he was like, hey, "Watch out for the ants." This sounds like birds, but it's not. It's a fucking ant.
That was a great line.
That's a fucking solid line.
Yeah,
there's like pretty much like anything can kill you out there, you know. This time they find Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh man, I watched.
I almost nunchucked you, man.
I watched 80% of Holmes and Watson. It Oof. Might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I kind of need to see it because of how
sometimes
bad it
movies
to
like
be.
That though they're not. If it's a comedy,
right.
It's bad comedies
oh, I
are
know,
not
yeah.
good.
That's, when a movie,
I've always maintained that the worst kind of bad movie is a bad comedy.
Yeah,
the worst kind of bad movie. Like if you
the
use Rotten
kind.
Tomatoes as a metric, it is the like 12%, 5%. The best kind of bad movie are the like the 30%, the ones where it's like
yeah,
there's
usually
something
an action
about
movie
them.
Is what you want yeah. as a bad movie.
Sometimes it's Live Free or Die Hard where it's like this is really boring. Like it's
yeah, like, but like a bad Nicolas Cage action yeah. movie is really fun to watch.
Drive
yeah.
Angry
or the Bad Lieutenant. Bad Lieutenant is one of the funniest things I've ever
yeah.
seen.
I would argue, and I haven't seen it in a little while, but I think the worst bad Nicolas Cage action movie is Gone in 60 Seconds, because somehow he's not a lunatic in that.
No, he was still Tame Cage. He
yeah,
was still Cage,
and so
yeah.
it was like, it's that movie's such a bummer. Because,
that had some good Vinnie Jones in it.
Yeah.
Some solid Vinnie Jones, some Timothy Oliphant. Some of the Oliphants
some
in it.
Angelina
Do you not
Jolie
like that movie, by
reason?
The way? Is that a bad
Maybe
movie?
Maybe I'll watch
you?
It again, but it's one of those movies that now, like, we have the Fast and Furious film, so if I want to see some really cool car shit, I'll watch that. And
we
if I want to see crazy Nicolas
then,
Cage,
no.
I won't watch that. Yeah, I think at the time I appreciated it,
yeah.
but now there's no room for it in my life. There's no room for God in 60 seconds.
I hope someone can make a National Treasure 3 so we can get
yes.
Nicolas Cage some...
I don't know why we haven't made one. I don't know why. They do fine.
Yeah, what do you
I feel like Nicolas Cage is one of those characters. He's like, what an all over the map. Like, if you do a scatter plot of Nicolas Cage's career,
yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, he might be the only actor from this era who is ever remembered. I think a thousand years from now, they'll still be talking about Nicolas Cage. And that's it.
I like that.
I think he'll be the only public figure from this time.
I like the theory that once Nicolas Cage got his Oscar, that he just decided to like kind of troll everything.
Right.
Which like if you see like his choices, they seem kind of trolly.
Right.
Where it's just like his big Disney action film involves him stealing the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Or the fact that like Face Off. Like, he did Face Off with John Travolta, and yeah. they're both, like, so hammy and so ridiculous
so
in it.
we really don't appreciate how much of a gift that film is.
That's I watched it not too long ago, and I was like, this movie is so... There's a prison break in like a weird.
Yep.
There's like a weird prison break. Plot. It's yeah. so crazy.
That prison could have been its own movie.
Yeah.
That
with the Super Mario
Stallone,
Brothers boots.
Stallone made
yeah.
that movie.
He yeah, made that
breakout, right? With Schwarzenegger.
Right. Yeah. Or Escape, they made Escape that movie. Plan, I think it's called.
Escape
Meanwhile,
plan.
That is 8 minutes of a Christopher Cage of a Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
8 minutes is a high tech escape from a prison that's on an oil rig.
We need to celebrate Face Off. There should be a day, a national holiday where we all watch it.
Yeah.
What's next?
Face we're on to, torn. We're onto the new the full Swamp Thing trailer. There was a teaser last week. Now we got the trailer.
I fuck with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though we talked about this last week as they halted production after
it's
10
already
episodes.
Canceled. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they could just be like they basically just stopped and we don't know why. Maybe.
Well, because we do. Warner Brothers is taking over and they're gonna package up they're gonna do a Disney Plus with all of their properties, so the DC app is gonna shut down in the fall.
Because this does. There was an.
I'd rather there be a
this.
Warner app than a DC app.
Yeah. No. Well, I feel bad for Swamp Thing.
I do
because
too.
This did appeal to me because it introduced an aspect of this that I hadn't thought about, which is that it's kind of like the Thing, like the swamp creature look is like very John Carpenter,
very
Cronenbergian. Yeah, and there's something about those like gross little swamp tentacles and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just like this is fucking cool.
There's a lot to say about the story of Swamp Thing and the direction that you're going with it. It has a very easy direction to go into horror.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to have Swamp Thing be sort of the bright I hate to put it this way because I love the movie, but like it's almost like Swamp Thing is like a demon knight. Where he's like being chased by a lot of terrible things. I mean, we actually talked about this in a recent episode of Tom and Jeff Watch Batman in Justice League Dark, where Swamp Thing is like the sort of the protector of what they call the green, which is all of the elemental like vegetation on Earth, and like he has to compete with the rot, which is obviously
which is
the death and decay
like.
Of yeah.
yeah. And it's
pretty cool.
Produced by James Wan, so
that dude's producing everything now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is.
He's sticking his name in a lot of things.
Got a lot of fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, that's fine. Good for him.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, he's that. I think Aquaman was the biggest DC film. I think so.
Yeah,
they're like, please, put your name on whatever you want.
Yeah,
so. I mean, not,
show us the way.
Yeah. Not for nothing, but I guess not good for him because they already canceled the
right.
show.
Right, because they, fucking DC.
Well,
yeah.
All right. Well let's move on to the news stories. So
does that mean that what? Does that mean like Doom Patrol and Titans?
I think
will
Doom
be
Patrol
on?
And Titans are probably going to roll over into the other and whatchamacallit there, the Young Justice.
Yeah, if they're smart, they'd roll it all over. So maybe that's why they're halting production on this, too. Maybe they're like, well, we don't hate this. We're just making some adjustments.
Yeah.
Okay, on to news stories.
Mm-hmm.
This is... I find this story fun. Doug Liman's $100 million young adult dystopian film probably won't be a release.
When did
it's going to be
this?
Released.
He, Doug Liman.
2017, right?
Oh, man.
What?
Didn't they make it? He started it in 2017.
Probably, yeah. Because it was still like, when they started it, young adult dystopian films were already long on their way out. I am so happy we don't live in that world anymore.
We got
I don't think it'll ever fully disappear. You just got to get another good one.
Yeah. We got Gritty the Giver.
Yeah, the Giver.
You have to.
The Giver is a good book. I don't know what the fuck that movie was.
Yeah, there's something though with this director because I was looking at his previous work, and he started so strong. And then I think Mr. and Mrs. Smith cursed him.
Why?
Then he went
a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Oh no,
that's the sexiest movie I've ever seen.
I'm just thinking it cursed him. Not, I don't think he makes bad movies. He's just very unlucky.
He did the
Jumper
first Bourne,
was his next
right?
one, and that was a bad movie. He did, The Bourne Identity.
Mm-hmm.
Which the, wasn't the original cut of that like unwatchable as well?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, something... All right.
It's why he didn't do Bourne Supremacy.
Yeah, I shouldn't say he's cursed because the more obvious answer is he must be just bad at his job. Because Jumper wasn't very good, and then he did Edge of Tomorrow, which also had a lot of problems.
It did, but even in the article that we read, like, a lot of actors love him. I guess he's really kind of a point-and-shoot director.
Right.
Like, and his plans are so bad that it's very hard to edit his shit together.
That makes sense. Because, like, yeah, Edge of Tomorrow had some really cool fucking practical
effects. Edge of Tomorrow is one
shit.
Of my that's, favorite sci-fi yeah, movies of all time.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's it a terrific really film. Is.
The again, fact that like, Oblivion and Edge of Tomorrow came out back to back.
That was so weird.
I was like, what a golden age of Tom Cruise sci-fi. Yeah.
And then he made American Made, which I haven't seen yet.
It's great.
Okay, good.
Saw that in the theater with MoviePass. It was one of my first MoviePass
movies. This doesn't seem like it's his fault because the subject matter is just like, yeah, Jesus Christ. But like, they are talking about how they're like, they keep trying to make it work in post. Like, it's another thing.
It's going to... Well, they're doing reshoots.
Yeah.
Tom Holland Instagrammed several reshoots.
I think... Yes, they are. But, like, yeah, they're... I guess... I think they're coming to this point where they're like, is this worth it?
Yes. Because you can get another Edge of Tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
That's true.
That's what they're... That's one of the big things that the point is like, sometimes, and, like, kind of often, this dude makes blockbuster movies kind of by accident.
But also... And I know the studios would disagree, and logic would disagree, but sometimes making a movie isn't about making a lot of money at first.
Oh,
sometimes you're trying to make a classic or something that all people will remember.
Making Office Space, you know?
Yeah. That said, I'm sure they set out to, like, I'm sure this movie isn't something that's, like, amazingly artistic. I'm sure they were just like, look, we're trying to make a lot of money. And
yeah,
it's becoming more trouble than it's
worth.
Yeah, you
don't spend $100 million on a movie if you're like, we want this to have, like, a quiet... long life.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an art house film.
So yeah, who knows?
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
Yeah,
like, I love Swingers, man.
Yeah,
Swingers. I really like that movie.
Doug Liman has more good movies than bad movies,
and that movie holds up as you get older. That movie changes what it is.
Oh yeah,
and I love that about that movie.
Yeah, I watched it recently. It holds up surprisingly well. I didn't expect it to.
And there's the aspect of not only does it hold up surprisingly well, but when you watch it as an older gentleman looking back at like how full of shit everybody in that movie is.
Yeah.
Like you don't really see that the same way when you're in your late teens.
Right.
Right. Like seeing the movie for the first time, like it's a reveal that Vince Vaughn is full of shit.
Like, and then when you watch it the whole time, you're like, oh, never mind. They're
obviously is. Like they're all just fucking idiots.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the big news. This is probably the biggest news of the of what we got here, which is that they've announced the new James Bond movie.
Yeah, Bond 25. No title yet, but
With Mr. Robot coming at him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Man, the Bond movies have really gone out of their way to be like, who's hot now? That's our villain.
Yes. They're sure. Very good about that.
That's what you do.
It was what Christoph Waltz and then what's
Javier
his name?
Bardem.
Javier Bardem. Mm-hmm.
And then
Mads.
Yep.
Who was Quantum of Solace? That was Javier. No, who was
Quantum of Solace? Who the hell knows?
I don't remember. I didn't see Quantum
of Solace.
Was
Javier Bardem,
No. Javier Bardem was Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Who's the... And Christoph Waltz was fucking
Spectre. He was Blofeld.
Man, Spectre. What a that movie has my favorite opening.
Which one?
Spectre. And it's the worst of the new
Bond
movies.
Is that the one
Mardi Gras chase, right?
Yeah,
Day of the Dead.
The Dia de los Muertos. Oh,
yeah. Right. Yeah. It's mostly a Warner. I think it's broken up. Yeah. All right. Here's the thing about the James Bond movies. They've definitely this Daniel Craig has overstayed its welcome.
What?
However,
I love them.
Oh no. Well, I was gonna say, however, they're consistently entertaining and good. And skill, like, they're skillfully made.
Well,
it's just that, like, Daniel Craig isn't enthusiastic about it anymore. Yeah. They clearly, like, Spectre was them being like, and goodbye, everybody. And then the studio was like, let's do another. And it was like, no, we just ended this
The
era
Broccoli's
of Bond.
Like their money, dude.
Yeah, and so this feels like...
So the villain in Quantum of Solace was Dominic Green, played by Mathieu Amalric.
Okay.
I don't tell you who that
who
is.
Who the fuck that is. Nope. So there it goes.
No, but I believe you.
Right out the window. Yeah.
And this will probably be great too.
Is Sam Mendes making this one, or did they get a new director? Because he did the last two, right?
Didn't they get
what's his name?
It's Mick
G.
Fukunaga.
It is. That's right. I wrote it down there. It's Cary Joji Fukunaga. That's right.
Shuck Tor.
That's what they call me while I'm eating oysters.
Oysters tumbling out of his gullet.
Anyway.
Yeah.
40 oysters.
40.
What were you saying?
Oysters. I was, it's Fukunaga. It's the True Detective guy.
Cary Fukunaga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Maybe we're going to have a grittier Bond.
Yeah, maybe.
He's been pretty goddamn gritty.
Yeah, they I'm sure this will be good, but this is like a gambler who's kind of like, the last hand he made is like, oh, okay, I'm down a little more than, like, I've been winning, and then, like, the last hand wasn't so great, and now they're going in for one last one, and it's like, look, you're good. People weren't as excited for Spectre, but like, just, you're fine. Just end and let someone else take over Bond, and let's breathe more new life into it. Because how long do Bonds usually last?
It depends, but four to five movies.
Okay,
that's how many Pierce Brosnan did. Yeah. Right?
Roger Moore did the most, I think.
Okay.
He did 40 movies.
Do they normally, because the Pierce Brosnan one, certainly by the end, it was like,
boy,
okay,
that's a
step
law of
on
diminishing
its
returns was
they,
pretty yeah. fucking quick.
Yeah. They spiraled very quickly.
They were like, we'll start with a great movie and then have several very bad movies.
So like, this feels like we're hitting that point.
Yeah.
I hope that's the meeting they had. Okay, we'll start with a really good movie and then we'll make several very bad movies.
Several really bad movies. Can we get Madonna to do the song?
It's so weird to me still that the director of Casino Royale and Sky and GoldenEye are the same person.
Yeah, Martin Campbell.
Because that's so weird to me that they were like, get Martin Campbell again and have him do something completely different looking.
And he fucking knocked it out of the park.
Did. Yeah.
Casino Royale, in my opinion, is the best James Bond movie.
It's fantastic.
It's hard to compare other ones, and everybody's like, yeah, but what about, and it's like, nope, you only like it because you watched it as a kid,
right? I mean, it's hard because the other ones, obviously time makes things like better in the sense of like, yeah, they have
these are just better movies.
Yeah, honestly, my two favorites are like License to Kill and GoldenEye.
I mean, it's, yeah, well,
yeah.
Nobody's favorite is License to Kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's one of those things. I did this joke, I think it was online or something, but it's just like, whenever I'm like, I love James Bond movies, and then I look at the list of James Bond movies, and then I'm like, I like a couple of James Bond movies. Like, I always think I love them, and then I'm like, oh, no, I don't.
Yeah,
most of them are not good.
No, the majority, like a good 20 of the 20 now five movies are not good. Yeah.
And that's what I remember thinking, like with Quantum of Solace, where it was like, oh, I'm witnessing one of those right now.
Oh, they did one of them.
Yeah, where it's like,
this is a bad one.
Well, Skyfall was
the
dope,
fucking writer strike, right? So it's just like a garbage fire.
Yes. Skyfall, Skyfall's great. Skyfall's great, but it's also like kind of a product of its time, because there's a lot of tropes that they were doing at the time
chasing the Joker in that movie.
Yeah. And so like, it hurts a little from that, but it's also fucking great. So,
and then I will say the opening of Spectre is just unbelievable.
I enjoyed Spectre.
That Dia de los Muertes scene is just flawless, and that movie shits the bed so fast.
Well, because they started doing the soft reboot shit, and that, I think that was one of the problems, is that, like, how often do they repeat villains in Bond?
I'm Blofeld laughing about that analogy. I'm picturing like a UFC fighter coming out real strong in the first round, and then like 10 seconds into round two, just shits all over the place.
Oh, like fucking, what's his name did?
Steven Seagal?
No, I was going to say the wrestler, what's his name, CM Punk.
Did he shit himself?
He shit himself in the ring, yeah.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, to be honest. Like, that seems just like an occupation where people shit
that. They actually talk about that on Last Week Tonight.
Oh, yeah. because he had a friend
of the friend of the pod, Daniel O'Brien may have written that very
line about it. But okay, just what's back to the question? How many? I honestly don't know. How many villains and plot lines have they repeated in these?
Two.
I mean,
Blofeld and Jaws.
Okay, and when did they repeat them?
Blofeld is kind of all over the. He's in a Sean Connery one, and he's in some Roger Moore ones, and then he is unceremoniously killed in the very beginning of a Roger Moore one.
Isn't he dropped into a fucking smokestack?
Yes.
And he's brought back after that?
No, he doesn't come back after that until Spectre.
But Christoph Waltz.
All right, is it the same Blofeld, technically, in all the others?
No.
Yes. It's supposed to be the same guy in all the others.
In the other movies, but not Inspector.
I guess that's what I'm saying is, what I'm asking is this the first time they tried to soft reboot?
Casino Royale is the soft reboot.
It's a soft reboot, yeah.
Yes, but like they always, whenever they have a new actor, it always felt like a soft reboot. In the sense that, like, they're okay, new actor, but we're doing
not
like this.
Usually.
Well, no, this is Casino Royale specifically was like he's.
Oh,
like,
you're right. They're starting over. Out. He's new. Yeah.
And yeah, meanwhile, right. Like when Pierce Brosnan took over, he keeps referencing all the stuff from previous.
Yeah.
Movies.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess that wasn't a bad choice. Obviously, I just I'm trying to identify why I'm so fucking tired of these new ones, and I think it's the soft reboot aspect where it's like. Now they're starting to bring in villains that, like, we know, and they're doing that thing where they're, like, trying to tease it, and it's like, oh, is he Blofeld? Oh, he's Blofeld.
Oh, he's Khan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
That
if
shit.
These movies were all knock 'em out of the park like Marvel,
yeah,
then you wouldn't be as bored of them because they're still good.
Right, but I think the reason they're not knock 'em out of the park is because they're doing shit like this.
Yeah.
Because they're focusing, like, Khan is the good example, because the Star Trek reboots suffer the same way. Where, like,
those movies don't suffer. I really like them.
I did not.
Oh, the stove. Those are garbage movies.
Oh, I love them. I love them so much. Oh, just give me fucking Kirk on a dirt bike beating an alien species with a fucking Beastie Boys. I will take that to my grave. Like, yeah. What a fucking ballsy,
clutching
stupid move.
Cold dead hands.
I love every single piece of that whole. I mean, Star Trek II, The Into Darkness, I think, is the moviest movie I've ever seen.
It's so movie. It's
a pile
painful
of
movie.
Shit. It's real bad.
But Star Trek Beyond is just so fucking amazingly out of control. I love everything about it. And the first Star Trek, I really liked.
The first one I was okay with, but I mean, this is a whole other conversation. Star Trek is like, it's stuck right now. They refuse to leave. I think Voyager is the last show or anything that was like, and here we're advancing the story and
yeah,
the universe.
Yeah, this is,
they are stuck in the fucking.
I heard the new Star Trek show is good.
It's not,
yeah, I'm
but
sure
it takes
fine.
Place. I've heard it's been.
I
really
only
good
saw the
lately.
First two episodes and they were just terrible.
I've heard it's gotten really good.
Yeah, I've heard the second season. I think what happened, Tom, is since we watched it, they course corrected.
Yeah,
ooh, maybe
Star Trek.
Yeah, but I don't care. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll watch it at some point.
Also, same thing about Orville, I've heard.
Orville's
I've heard
great.
Orville's gotten out of control fantastic.
It's great. The Orville is why I don't care about the other Star Trek, because I've been watching Orville.
It's your Galaxy Quest, the series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is the new Star Trek.
It started as like, oh, we're making fun of Star Trek, right, guys? And now it's just fucking Star Trek. And it's just, they don't even put much jokes
well,
in
he's a Star huge Trek fan jokes. Of Star yeah. Trek. He's in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane has been in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Twice, I think.
A lot of people have been in Star Trek. It's weird.
A Saudi prince or Jordanian king or something like that.
For sure. Let's move on.
Okay. Fine. James Wan is producing a Salem's Lot remake.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't even need to include this because, yeah, exactly. It's like, sure. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be great.
Sure.
I like the Pet Sematary one. Salem's Lot is a creepy-ass book. So
James Wan's producing it?
Yeah, exactly.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm all for readapting Stephen King novels for newer audiences, because some of the old Stephen King novel adaptations are pretty bad.
Yeah, like, oh no, they're going to reboot the Tommyknockers. Oh, what are they going to do with Tracy Lords?
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy
Smith. I want to see Maximum Overdrive. I want to see them bring that.
Fuck it. Who gives a shit, man? Mm. Give me those terrible 70s and 80s movies and give me a reboot. I don't give a fuck. I'll reboot the fucking Shining. I don't care.
Yeah.
Nothing is untouchable for me.
I mean, They tried that. They tried doing
Steven Weber.
Steven Weber. Yeah.
I'm excited for the Dr. Sleep movie because who's fucking directing that? It's some guy. It's a guy.
It's Flanagan.
It's a guy.
It's Mike Flanagan. It's Mike
finally, Flanagan. David's like, it's a guy. Finally, finally, a man gets a chance.
My voice is being heard.
All right. I want to move on.
Yeah.
Because I'm very excited about this next one. Taylor Swift, in an interview, revealed that they had a cat school on the set of the new Cats film, where the actors had to learn how to be cats.
That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Everything about this movie.
I love everything about it.
Funniest fucking movie ever made.
Yeah. I hope they have a behind the scenes of the cat school. Where they're
I'm buying this on
cats.
Blu-ray just so I can see that
just
extra.
Just for that. Because I want to see the goddamn cat school.
This is... I'm so pumped for Cats.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about Cats.
How just everything about that fucking performance, that play, that movie, I'm always just like, man, that's a lot of shit got greenlit for I don't know why.
Yeah. I think they don't know why. I think it's that thing where things are becoming kind of a parody of themselves, where like I could see this joke being in like a Simpsons episode in the 90s.
Movie.
Yeah, exactly. But fucking whatever. It's
yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Make it. Burn it.
Burn it all
down. I'm sure Val is gonna make me see it.
Oh, yeah, I can't not watch this movie. Are you kidding?
Yeah, this might be one of the most successful films just from ironic viewings.
Oh, this is gonna be the snakes on a plane.
Yeah,
of the new
exactly.
generation.
Maybe there are a lot of Cats fans.
Who are they? I've never met them. Where do they go?
They're all hanging out with their cats.
They're all hanging out with their cats, bro.
It's a scary thought. Next thing, this isn't, I don't know. Multiple Fox films are being shut down by Disney.
Yes, yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
This is personally upsetting because my friend's movie got canceled.
Oh, that sucks.
My friend Dave Peterson created a comic book called Mouse Guard, and it was supposed to be
what they were talking about.
A really big movie, and we just found out relatively recently that it's being shit canned. And that comic is unbelievable.
They were like putting
fucking
a lot
Disney.
Of money into it. Like, they were banking on it like being a big movie.
It's like a kind of Lord of the Ringsy thing, but it's about mice in a world. It's a very sort of Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings took place in like the animal kingdom kind of a thing, and it's really fucking good.
This is such a bummer.
And the art and the stories are so good, and he puts so much things. He builds models of shit before he draws it to make sure it looks right. It's just so insane, and I'm so mad that Disney took over, and they're just like, "Oh, a mouse story? Sorry."
But we get to see Fantastic Four.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
fuck the X-Men and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Fucking a ton of really good things have been fucking deep-sixed.
Yes,
a lot of fucking jobs have been lost, and I could give a flying fuck if Wolverine and Captain America meet each other in 2027.
This is, I think. The most.
This is very bad.
Yeah, this is pinpointing the most toxic part of modern movies, I think. And I do think there's a lot of good superhero movies out there, but I kind of put the blame on the what has happened with superhero movies, which is that it's nobody gives a shit anymore.
Well, to be perfectly fair, none of the fans of superhero movies had any say or part of this decision.
No. I don't blame fans of superhero movies.
Really.
It's more just the success of them. It's the fact that Disney and Star Wars.
It's
too.
The fact that people sold to Disney. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
It's that they sold to Disney.
It's the fact that I don't think anybody cares though, because everybody just wants to see the things they want to see.
Nobody cares. Nobody wants to know how the sausage is made. They just want it, and that's a problem. If all you care about in the Disney Fox merger is that we can see the fucking X-Men and the Fantastic Four, then you're kind of an asshole.
Right.
Because you have no perspective.
Like, I think the same with Lucasfilm, where they're like, we bought Star Wars, but hey, we're going to make one a year and we're going to make a park. And it's that thing of like, now we're just like discussing and debating the films.
The thing is it doesn't matter how we feel about it.
Yeah.
We can't block a Disney merger. Like what?
Yeah.
I understand the being angry at people who are kind of dismissive of it, because obviously, like, particularly like in Jeff, in your case, where you have like a friend who's like amazing movie just got shit canned. But like, I also kind of get annoyed by people who are shitting on people who are like, oh, it'd be, you know, I want to see Avengers and X-Men, because it's like, they don't have any fucking say over what happens with that. Like, we should be mad at the people who aren't putting antitrust things in motion against companies like Disney, because they shouldn't own all of this shit.
Right.
That should be illegal.
There is a really big bummer part of this that I didn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
But part of this has something to do with the fact that Rupert Murdoch and Fox News and Trump are very tight, because his administration didn't do anything about this. They didn't care. They passed it right through. But then they blocked other mergers.
They
specifically
tried to block
one,
the Time Warner one, right?
Yeah, the Time Warner one. Who owns CNN?
Yeah.
So there's a, like, I guess it's more, it's not being mad at comic book fans. It's being like, I get the idea that it's not their decision and they can't do anything about it, but like, there needs to be more public outcry about this. There needs to be,
yeah,
like, we can't be cheering them on for this shit.
I don't want Disney to own everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even in that article, they're like, well, we just have to make sure all our stuff is going to be more accessible.
Right.
And right, if you want a fucking, making sure nobody's smoking in West Side Story, it's like, go fuck yourself.
Don't tell fucking Steven Spielberg what to do in his movie. Just take the fucking movie.
Yeah.
I don't want a Disney shine on everything.
Yeah. And the,
that company has outrageous amounts of goodwill, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, they're an evil company.
Yes, they are.
They are. It's gone out of control.
There's a great
scene.
Did
you see? Oh, sorry.
In the Clerks animated film, in the animated cartoon,
yes,
where the animation studio, they have a scene and they're like, "Hey, big man, whip us, we slave." And they fucking, it's a rat, and they made it originally. They drew it as Mickey Mouse because it was on ABC. And they made it like a big mean rat, and they then had to like remove the short pants with the buttons on them.
I remember Kevin, because I saw one of the Kevin Smith's things where he was, that show hadn't come out yet, and he was showing it around. And yeah, about how like they technically, Clerks is a Disney owned movie, and like how they told him not to show it at his speeches, and he was like, yeah, but fuck them. Like they fucked me over so many times. So here's the Clerks cartoons.
I like that there are still artists out there.
Yeah,
I like Kevin Smith. I don't have a big problem with him, but I like how he kind of is like, oh, if they sue me, they sue me.
Yeah, I really appreciate John Oliver for that recently, where they were finally, I think they were finally bought by AT&T.
Yeah,
and he's been celebrating by just repeatedly insulting AT&T as a cell phone service.
Yeah, and he's like, we're still
like,
one
fuck
of their
them. Yeah.
I like how he keeps saying how screwed HBO is in the summer.
Right.
Because once Game of Thrones is done.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think also part of that is part of the game. I think if a corporation is smart, they let their own people insult them, because in the end, they're still making all the money. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's, you know, all the Fox people, like the Modern Family creator and Seth MacFarlane and a couple other people who have shows on Fox are all like, Fox fucking sucks.
Right, and now, well, and now they're doing, and I don't like this, because like now the Simpsons did a promo where they're like, oh, we're owned by Disney now, look how corporate and like horrible it is, and it's like, but it is, like, you can't, don't joke about it,
no,
like,
that
it's
means,
a fucking problem.
Does that mean Simpsons Land is going to leave Universal at some point?
Well, Marvel Land hasn't left Universal, and I know the reason why is it, oh, Tom, do you know?
I was assuming it was a separate contract with its own
title. Yeah, it's like some weird ass contract that they did.
They haven't left yet. I thought their contract went out.
Maybe they did, because I was going to say at a certain point they're going to quietly change it.
Maybe in Florida, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I am all for, and this is just personal thing, I'm all for them taking that Simpsons ride, turning it right back to Back to the Future.
Yeah, the Simpsons ride isn't necessarily great. Yeah.
Also, you know what people fucking love still? Back to the Future.
I will
keep
say
it
this:
as a Back to the Future.
Simpsons Land at Universal is fantastic.
Yeah, I love having
and
like
the best food
and,
is at Cletus's Chicken Shack. It's the chicken and waffle sandwich.
Yeah,
I'm a Gold Pass member at Universal.
I want them to dig up the Harry Potter land and give me back the Jaws ride.
Yes, they should.
You fuckers!
They need to bulldoze Harry Potter.
What are you talking about?
I was so excited.
Harry Potter land is fucking. pretty rad. I mean,
no, but I was very excited. Goddamn Jaws ride.
I want my shitty ass Jaws ride.
It's a great Jaws ride.
We're getting Nintendo World.
Yeah, we are.
That's what's coming next.
Yeah,
sure.
It's funny because I said someone at Universal was like, "We can't tell you what's there, what's coming," and I was like, "It's Nintendo World," and the guy goes,
"Yes,
yeah." And I was like, "We all know it's Nintendo World."
Remember when they did the Universal was Islands of Adventure?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking that was great. Marvel. It's great. That has Marvel. What I always loved about it, they had Marvel. They had like a Poseidon thing. They had like a medieval area, and then they had like the Hanna-Barbera like. Like they have a like a what is his name? This the Canadian bounty guy,
Dudley Do-Right.
They have like a water slide for him, and it was like this is all right. Like it was so like random, but it
the
was
the best
like,
ride
sure.
at Universal is the Mummy ride.
Oh, it's so good!
Mummies in the Dark. Ride. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. They still have the Waterworld stunt show. That was
I see it every time I go there. I go to the I go to Universal about once a month.
Right,
and I always see. The stuff. I got some pictures with the guy. Yeah. Not too long.
I told you when I worked at Universal, where you go in to clock in is right next to it. So every day I'd go in to clock in and there'd be an explosion. And it's like, what other job do you, is there just casual explosions?
What did you do at Universal?
I was just doing the lines at, like the mostly the Halloween stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When was this?
It was the first time I came to LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was very brief, and it was a really fun job. It was probably the most fun I've ever had making minimum wage.
That's fair, yeah.
And it was funny because I was there. I was old enough to know how special that is, but I was working with teenagers who were like, I fucking hate this. And it's like, don't say that, man. Like, this is probably
this
the
is
best
it.
Job.
This is gonna be, you're going to look back at this job and be like, this was my favorite job.
Yeah.
You're going to write a spec script about working at this place.
Yeah, this is going to be your fucking coming of age.
Yeah.
It's going to be your adventure land.
They did certain things. The breaks were really generous. They were really, really nice. And one of the most amazing things they did is that they wouldn't let you work anywhere in any section for more than an hour. Even like you would work a specific ride or more than one ride, but they knew we have to switch it up every hour. And that would give you the ability to constantly be somewhere new, seeing new things, doing new stuff, and you are always kind of feeling refreshed.
They're also really good to their employees that need to, like auditions and stuff. Right. They're really generous with like, oh, you need a day off? Well, we'll find someone to replace you.
Right. Oh, yeah. They were great about that.
Yeah.
Well, that was because they're so big. I had to call out my first day because my stupid cat jumped off my balcony and broke her leg. I had to call out my first day and I thought, like, this is the worst thing in the world. And then I realized, like, they're so big that the person I'm talking to doesn't give a fuck. It's just some
office. Don't even know it's your first day.
Exactly. They're just like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll write it down.
Wow, that's great.
Fucking great. Everybody go work for Universal.
Anyway, if anybody wants to go to Universal with me, I have free parking.
Okay. Final news story. Ken Watanabe is starring in the Japanese version of The Fugitive.
Sure. You mean a Japanese version of Taken 3?
Yeah. So, yeah. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'll watch shit out of that.
Yeah.
If you just made Taken with Ken Watanabe, I would watch that movie forever exclusively.
They did that with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
With the foreigner.
It's funny because they are saying like it's the Japanese version of The Fugitive, but The Fugitive isn't like a very, it's not Lord of the Rings.
Japan. Japan fucking loves The Fugitive.
Oh no, what I mean is it's not such a specific plot that it has to be a remake of The Fugitive. It's just, it's at this point, it's just a type of
It's like really
story.
Popular in Japan.
Yeah, good. It should be really popular here. It's a great movie.
I think it was like the series was the thing that was really popular.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm into it.
Oh, so they're doing basically what we did in the 90s, like the series. They're just adapting the series. Okay. Cool.
I didn't kill my wife.
I don't care. Dave.
And U.S. Marshals, guys.
Dave.
U.S. Marshals. Yes.
Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I do. It's a real weird one.
Cool.
This is called Perfect, you guys. It's coming out... a limited release May 17th, but everybody can watch it on streaming. June 21st. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 60%. It is produced by Steven Soderbergh and Flying Lotus, which is a band?
Look at me, man. I don't know.
Okay. It's either that or like a really weird guy. The trailers for this looks insane. They're very weird and surreal. It's about a boy who, the movie kind of opens with him having killed a woman, and they don't explain why. And I guess,
Cause you don't need to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And him and his mother, who is like also kind of a psychopath, decides that he needs to go to this clinic to like improve himself. Mm-hmm. And it's the future, and it's like a clinic in the middle of the woods, and this it's like a skyscraper. And you go and you are given like artificial enhancements in order to like make yourself more well perfect. And it's a kind of a body horror, I guess, of him just like trying to improve himself by carving out pieces. Because I think they make you cut yourself open. I'm not sure. The trailer is vague. carving out chunks of his skin, replacing it with like robotics.
Damn.
And there's a woman there that he like has nightmares about killing. So he's like, he's scared. He's still a monster. And it's about this guy progressively being pushed more and more into these surgeries. Until I assume he's more robot than man.
Twisted yeah. and evil.
Yeah. That's the fucking movie.
It looks I'm pretty down. Crazy. Like it.
Yeah.
It looks bananas. You said it's at what, 60% Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
That's a good thing to go like, oh man, maybe these critics just didn't like a thing I like.
Right. yeah, exactly. 60% isn't terrible. Rotten Tomatoes, I don't always agree with the critics' score in Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I mean it's just a barometer. Like it's just
60% of the people thought it was 51% good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just 60% of people gave it a favorable review.
Yeah.
So it's good at kind of figuring out kind of about what to expect from a movie, but it's not always like people's tastes vary so much.
Yeah. So the Variety review said there's some cannibalism in there as well.
Dope.
So
that's cool. Dope.
Yeah. So yeah, it's hard to describe without seeing the trailer, because the trailer has like weird like 80s graphics and like
it's
crazy effects.
I really like the way it looks.
Yeah, me too. The director has done a few shorts. That's it.
Okay.
But Soderbergh is vouching for him. Yeah. Soderbergh isn't like, he's not James Wan. He doesn't put his name on everything.
No,
so,
he puts his name on almost nothing unless he's
It's like Tarantino, same thing.
Yeah, Soderbergh,
Tarantino will find movies and import them.
Yeah. Soderbergh like hates making movies.
He hates movies.
He hates the concept of movies.
So yeah, I don't know. Fucking check this out. Check out the trailer because it'll be on streaming. So everybody can see it at some point.
Yeah.
It looks real weird. Real weird. I got a little bit of Ex Machina vibes from it, but I don't think it's anything like that.
No,
I think it's just because it's a tech center in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of the visuals, but other than that, it doesn't seem to have much in common with it.
No.
Well, that's a sode, everyone. We did it. Mm-hmm.
That's a sode.
We did it.
Yeah. Hypecast.
Hypecast.
Jeff, what do you got? What do you need?
Do you really want me to be the one to start this?
Yes.
All right. I got a big plug. If you're on the East Coast, from Portland, Maine down to Philadelphia, I am going to be on tour with Valerie Tosse on a co-headlining tour starting May 20th, Cityside in Boston, May 21st. First, Merrimack Games and Comics in Merrimack, New Hampshire. The 22nd, Newburyport Brewing Company in Newburyport. 23rd, Portland, Maine, Lincoln's. The 25th, which is a Saturday, Raven Lounge in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Holy shit, I'm driving 6 hours to do Philadelphia because I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to imagine the road trip that...
It's Portland to Philly is going to be a fucking drive.
Yeah.
So if you're in Philadelphia and you don't come to this show, fuck you. And then 26 is going to be my final tour, the final homecoming show at Greater Good Brewery in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester?
Yeah. That one's like almost sold out already.
Damn right it is.
Like we had 100 tickets go up and we still have a month to go and it's almost sold out.
Damn.
Also, you can check me out at Sideshow through Sideshow Collectibles. And of course, if you subscribe to Gamefully Unemployed, listen to me and Tom on Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. We got some really good shit coming on, down the pike.
Yeah.
Great. That's a real good plug.
Yeah, Dave, what do we got? What do we got going on?
Well, I think Jeff said it.
Yeah, that's true.
Gamefully Unemployed.
You should subscribe.
Gamefully Unemployed, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Yeah. check it out.
Check that out.
Along with Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Check them out.
Yeah. We got Fox Mulder is a Maniac. That's
I love that show. I promote Fox Mulder is a Maniac on my sideshow show.
Aww.
More than I promote Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on my sideshow show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I'm glad you like it.
You dear sweet man.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. You could check out our TeePublic store. We may have a Shuck Torn shirt up there at some point.
I will be so mad if you do a Shuck Torn shirt.
Really?
Who's going to get that?
I feel like we don't have to. I could draw it with my left hand and then we'll sell it.
Shuck Torn! Yeah. Oh man, that is a sode. This is a deep sode.
This is a deep sode. Yeah, let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody. Go!
Go now!
Get out! Go!
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at the Corlew, CORLEW, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.